Well, good evening, everyone. I'm the kind of preacher, let me let you in on a little secret here. I'm the kind of preacher that likes audience participation. What I mean by that, I'm going to ask you to say amen from time to time. So if you don't mind, just respond in the way that's appropriate. Amen? Amen? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. It's so nice to be with you tonight. I'm honored and I'm humbled that the leadership here would have confidence enough in me to invite me to be a part of this wonderful series of studies. Grateful that God has blessed us to be able to come and to share with you in this great series concerning dressing the inner man. Good. I'm blessed to have my wife with me tonight, over to the right here, Ronnie, my wife of 39 years, and we just had our anniversary in June 14th, and we're grateful to have her with us also. You can stand and say hi, baby. Can I move this? Okay. Thank you. My study, and I hope I got the right one, because you said I was supposed to give a lesson on wearing thankfulness, but my subject matter is wearing peace. Is that right? I think I got it right. Okay, peace. Wearing peace. I think I've been here before, haven't I? You remember me before? Okay, my first time. I have grown, and when I got the invitation to come and I got the information about the theme, I was really moved and challenged. The theme took me back. Took me back when I was just a boy growing up in the church. And on Saturday night, we would get all our clothes ready for Sunday morning. We had to get our church clothes ready in order to be ready to go to church on Sunday morning. And we'd get everything ready on Saturday night so that Sunday morning we'd be ready to go to church. But you know, that had to do with our outer garments. We had special clothes that we would wear for Sunday. We couldn't wear them to play in. Those clothes, we didn't even wear them to school. We just wore those clothes, particular clothes, for Sunday. They were our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. You heard that before? Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. But they were special because they were designed in order that we might go and present what we considered our very best to the Lord. Amen? Amen. But that had to do with our outer garments. Tonight, we are looking at the importance and the influence of dressing the inner man with a garment of peace. Now, throughout this series, no doubt you have been blessed to focus on and the many various garments which characterize the child of God. Thus, we appreciate this theme as a statement of challenging instruction in the preparation of living as a member of the body of Christ, the church. Amen? Amen. You're listening. The first thing in order, however, in regard to this particular study, is putting on your church clothes. Because these particular garments are the qualities of our character which lend to personify one as one of God's chosen. Go with me to Colossians, the chap- chapter is 3. We began reading at verse number 8. Now, this is in the middle of the whole thought pattern here, but it takes us to the place that will lead us into the particular thing that we're looking at tonight, beginning with verse number 8. And we will terminate our reading at about verse 15. You'll follow along. We'd appreciate that. All found? The text says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, what I like to do also in this particular study tonight is include another passage of scripture. That's in Romans, the 15th chapter, and just one verse, verse number 13. That verse reads like this: Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Say amen when you can. Wearing peace. Wearing peace. Peace in this world is becoming a more and more a rare commodity. We may look for peace in our lives, but it often and easily eludes us like an elusive dream. Life in this world seems often riddled with challenges on every hand, threatening our integrity and strength of faith that we have in the Lord. I am reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul over there in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. If you turn your Bibles there, you can read along with me. A number of verses there claim our attention also. These are the words that I'm reminded of as we look first at this text. Now we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this surprisingly great power is from God and not from us. We are pressed on all sides, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive and always consigned to death for Jesus' sake, are always consigned to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Verse number 13, and in keeping with what was written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We who have the same spirit of faith, also believe and therefore speak, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Excuse me. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is extended to more and more people may overflow in thanksgiving to the glory of God. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, though our inner self, our outer self, is wasting away. Yet our inner self is being renewed day by day. For in our light and momentary affliction is produced for us an eternal glory that is far beyond comparison. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, God sometimes permits us to use titles descriptive of what he is in himself. And sometimes he permits us to use names denoting his relationship with his creatures. Excuse me. In the sense of titles descriptive of what he is in himself, we apply such designations as the God of mercy, the God of love, or the God of truth. Examples of the names denoting his relationship with his creatures, we may call him the God of peace, the God of patience, the God of all consolation. And somewhere in the text I read him being identified as the God of hope. Amen? He is the fountain from which all hope must flow. For hope, like its sister faith, is one of those good and perfect gifts which comes down to us from the Father of lights, according to James chapter 1 and verse number 17. And this hope which God begets in us is a living hope, a lively hope. That is, God invests spiritual objects with a new attractiveness and creates within us longing desires after their attainment. He is the object on which all hope must terminate. God can never raise an expectation in his people for the mere purpose of disappointing them. As such, we have an assurance of this hope in which we can depend. Thank you. Paul talks about this over in Romans 15 and 13, the second text that we gave you this evening. And again, he says there, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. These are the closing words of a great proclamation which Paul makes concerning that which unites us as believers and how we are to receive one another in the same way that Christ has received each one of us. And in such, we find our joy and our peace in glorifying God together. Amen? Do you follow me, church? Joy and peace are qualities which go hand in hand. For when you have joy, then you know peace. When you clothe yourself in peace, then you have cause for joy and rejoicing. And even in the midst of all of our troubles, we can know joy and we can know peace. Amen? Real joy is one of those early fruits of the Spirit, which flow from a sense of our interest and trust in the promises of God. It is a unique joy with which a stranger cannot meddle, and of which any adversity cannot deprive us of this joy. Hence, this joy is to be distinguished from every other possession as having God for its object. It's not in riches, which often have wings, Say amen when you can. Not in honors, which may fail. It's not in health, which may decline and waste away. Amen. But we see it as Isaiah's joy when he said over there in Isaiah 61 and 10, Isaiah said, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. He says, my soul will exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and wrapped me in a robe of righteousness as a groom wears a priestly headdress and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. We see it as the virgin's joy. When she says over in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and 47, then Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. It is the apostle's joy when he speaks in redundancy to the Philippians over in Philippians 4 and verse 4 when he said these words, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Amen, Walls. Y'all didn't get that? And you know, this may serve to explain the paradox which Paul asked about. I'm sorry, which he talks about over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Listen to Paul's words again. He says, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And there in verse number 3, he says, we give no offenses in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in much tribulation, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity and by knowledge, by long-suffering and by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, and by the armor of righteousness on right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. You know, one of the things that we believe is important for us to learn, particularly as Christians, is that suffering is by design a part of the Christian life and the Christian experience. I thought I said something right there, but I got no amen, so I don't know. Even in that, get the paradox. The paradox, like as we just read, is that even in the throes of suffering, we can know and thus be clothed with the garments of salvation, which are, for the sake of this study, joy and peace. I'm talking about wearing peace. Many Christians have yet to know the peace which Christ gives because they fail to understand and appreciate the suffering which comes as a result of knowing Christ. For the fact is that true Christians, the true Christian has meat that the world knows nothing of. And we have access to the kind of peace that defies imagination. And when we wear this peace, there can be no greater joy in life and in living. And therefore, we can always have joy, and we can always know peace, which is made possible when we believe. When we believe in God, when we believe in Christ, when we believe in the Word, when we believe in the relationship that we have with the God of our creation. Listen, church. Often, as soon as a person is saved, or as soon as a person is baptized, one of the earliest evidences of our spiritual life is the great battle which takes place within. You follow me? Maybe, huh? Some folk have the false notion that as soon as they are saved, they shall never have to fight. But the truth be told, this is when the fight begins. The difference being, as one saved, you have joy and you shall know and wear peace while you're in the midst of fighting. Remember that even after you are secure in Christ and accepted before God, you may sometimes be discouraged and maybe even in despair. You hear me, church? Nevertheless, this should not be allowed to interrupt our peace nor take away our joy. Because the devil can't touch you while you are in Christ unless God allows it. The only way God will allow such to happen is because he knows you. And he knows just what you can bear and how much you can bear. I know it's true. And I rely on the words that Paul wrote a long time ago when he said God made a promise to us. Uh-oh, I'm having one of those moments. Have mercy. It's the promise where God said, but with every temptation, I will make a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. Do y'all remember that? I almost remembered it. While I am in Christ, and because I am in Christ, I'm protected. I recall David's words in 2 Samuel, the chapter is 22, verses 1 through 4. But David said, and he spoke to the Lord the words of this song. On the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul, And he said this, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." Church, a Christian person may very well become ill. We all do get sick. Even in the church. Wow, you got a tough crowd here. You may develop a bad kidney or a bad liver or experience some death-defying trial. But thank God, because you believe, because you trust, that is, you trust in the Lord, you can wear the garments of joy and peace, which comes through faith, through believing in Him, while fighting for your life. However, let's take a look, closer look for just a moment at this peace that we're talking about. You know, this is just no ordinary peace. I said, this is no ordinary peace. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Now, where was I before I got all excited here? This is no ordinary peace. Like that Jesus talks, says that the world gives. I'm going to talk about it in just a minute. This is not and cannot be common, run-of-the-mill peace, if there is such an animal. Jesus said to his disciples prior to leaving them, you may remember these words well, words that give comfort even today to those who believe in Him. Over in the 14th chapter of John, in about verse 27, Jesus said this to them. Listen, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you." Then He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid." Amen? I think Jesus said a mouthful. He spoke to them something that Lord have mercy. So many in the world and in the church today need to learn that when you trust in Jesus, He promised you to give you peace. Amen. The kind of peace that defies our imagination. We dare not be able to explain this peace that comes, and yet we can know it. Oh, the world will think you're crazy. The world will think you're strange because you have peace in the midst of all of this trouble you're going through. What planet are you from? But Jesus says it can be yours. It will be yours if you believe. Do y'all hear this? If you believe. What I heard Jesus saying to his disciples, and I'm going to paraphrase him like he's talking to some friends. I hear him saying this, "Look, fellas, I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you now, but I'm leaving you with peace. And he says, I give you my peace. The advice that Jesus gives comes from a forgiving heart. And I say that because Jesus is speaking to those who are among his offenders. Now follow me. And yet they are his more faithful followers. Amen. Sometimes we are in that very category. One or the other or both. Amen. We're all offenders to God. You and me and everybody like us, we're all offenders to God, and yet we can be among and numbered with those who are the most faithful followers of his. And these are the ones he's talking to and talking about. He says, my peace I give you. His peace gives us the will to go forth in obedience. His peace gives us the will to fulfill his will in our lives. His peace is the instruction we need to learn. And it helps us to have and maintain what I'm going to call good mental health. Because there are a lot of folk in the church who worry too much about circumstances in their life. If only they'd learn to give it over to the Lord. Then you can know the peace. Because you've taken the burden off your own shoulders. And you've put it into the hands of God. The one who can handle it when you can't. We can wrap ourselves in the garment of peace and wear it in matching fashion with all of the other garments of salvation that we adorn ourselves with. Then we have no cause to worry. Then we have no reason to despair. About anything. This is what the peace of God will do for you. It will truly give you peace. Amen. Is my time up? I got another minute. Oh, I can take two? Lord, how much? You shouldn't tell that to a preacher. Paul gives us some much needed advice when he talked to the Philippian brethren in Philippians 4. And he says something here that we're all very familiar with. We've read these words of Paul so often. And yet I have to wonder often if these words are, do we really take them seriously? Do we see them as something personal that we can apply and live with and live by? Listen to these words, beginning with verse number 6 of Philippians 4. You know him well. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Did y'all hear that? Paul says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I am sad often when I encounter, when I experience, when I visit brethren who are overwhelmed with anxiety, worried to the point of despair, even saying words like, they're ready for the Lord to take them away from here. I'm sad over that, because it tells me that this brother or this sister have not yet learned, to believe in the promises of God and to know the peace that Jesus says we could have. We understand that throughout Scripture, we're taught about peace as something which we have from the Lord. And as in this study, it can be, and I dare say it must be, a garment with which we clothe ourselves on our journey through life. Because the Bible says that Christ is our peace, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 14. The Bible tells us that the Lord, He is the Lord of peace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and about verse 16. The Bible says He is the Prince of peace. Isaiah said in Isaiah 9 and verse number 6. And it is His legacy to the church, according to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, there around verse number 27, when He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let it not be afraid." Did you know that peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit? Did you know that? It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. If you don't know it, go read it. It is. It is what the Lord proclaims in Isaiah 52 and verse 7. And you know, the apostle closes the text in Colossians 3 and about 15 with this. Verse 15 with this. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body." Listen to this. "And be thankful." And be thankful. Certain situations that we face in life makes it hard to say thank you. Y'all not feeling me. Amen. Certain situations make it hard to say thank you, Lord. Amen. brother steps on your toe and doesn't say, I'm sorry. You say, thank you, Lord. Instead of cussing him out for stepping on you. We can be thankful for all things in Christ. Because one of the assurances we have is that everything that God allows us to experience on our journey in life with Him is designed for our good. Amen, Ross. Designed for our good, for our salvation, for our journey through life, because He wants us to be with Him. And so Thanksgiving is paramount. It is our duty to always be thankful to God. And you know, it held a constant place in the apostles' thoughts all the way through his writings. Okay. Stick a fork in it. It's done. We are so blessed by God to know each day, irregardless of what that day might bring, irregardless of what we might find in our experiences through the day, every day is a blessing from God. I said every day is a blessing from God. Amen? Every single day. Even when the boss gets on your nerve. Or the employee gets on your nerve. When the grandkids are acting up. When the wife is being disagreeable. I better stop there. Every day is a good day. I didn't hear an amen, no. Every day is a good day. And we can, in every day, wear the peace of God because it makes for a better day. Amen. I'm done. Thank you so much for this time, for your patience with me in delivering this message. I pray that something has been said that will sink down into honest hearts and bring forth fruit to the glory and honor of God. Amen. And will help us to know the wonderful privilege we have in the Lord. And being a child of God. Amen? And being recognized as a child of God because we wear the garments. We wear the garments that identify us as one of God's chosen. God bless you for listening.